screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We a number one spot. We a number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Go, baby, we in here. Let them ride one time. God bless. How bad is it? Ask. Ask.
How bad is it?
I just got a text from Durham, North Carolina. That's how bad it is. And the text says, Jesus. Lot going on in King's Country. Yeah, well, there is, Coach. We welcome you in here to the whatever day it is. It's April 17th. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God Mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge.
And we are live.
Slums of Sacramento.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, so let's just pick up where we were here with the insiders a moment ago. Let's reset everything. Kyle asked, like, Kyle didn't ask anything. He just looked at me and he said, Jesus. And I said, Lord, help us. Here we are. You know, you tell me. We were together almost the entire game before you went to your courtside post and I took my ass home.
You were gone before.
I left. Yeah, I got the hell. And let the record show, I had no intention of leaving that game early. I got text to prove it.
Uh-huh.
Going to be home. I'm going to stay through this whole thing.
Yeah.
Then it was clear at halftime. Baby, I'm coming home. I ain't sitting around for this. And so it was clear. You tell me. You tell me. Because I share my opinion.
Okay.
For those just tapping in, appreciate y'all being with us. We got all this news about Monty McNair being out, Scott Perry being in. I was prepared. We knew Monty was being fired. We knew. Mm-hmm. If that game went a certain way, Monty was being fired. I think as the evening before the game progressed, KC and I got to the back little section by ourselves and we're kind of like, I think we're hiring Scott Perry. Mm. Like that chatter from four corners of the building, mm-hmm, four different walks of life, was pretty loud. And it's like, okay, so they have a target. Got it. No, no, you two stupid dumbasses. We don't have a target. We have a hire. And then I thought, oh. I shared a remark that a friend of ours said to me as he was walking away. Huh. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. We get to the back, all of the media talking, and it's like, oh, everybody's saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. Monty and the Kings knew that was it. They knew Scott Perry was the hire. It wasn't chatter. It was the plan. We heard the plan. Mm-hmm. Scott Perry was being hired. If we heard that, what you think them guys in the uniform heard? Oh, they knew. They've known probably for months. Mm-hmm. We heard chatter about Monty McNair months ago. We knew Monty was gone when we saw Wes was gone. Okay, they're blowing this whole thing up. Which brings us to the De'Aaron Fox. Interrupt me anytime you want.
Good, right now you're cooking.
Brings me back to the De'Aaron Fox trade. You knew you were firing him. You knew. Why did you let him execute that trade? Why did you let him be in charge of that? You didn't. Monty McNair didn't execute that Zach LaVine trade. And I'm starting to put pieces of my own puzzle together. I don't think Monty McNair signed DeMar DeRozan either. We heard DeMar DeRozan's name from people. Mm-hmm. We, you and I, heard Zach LaVine's name from people. I don't think Monty was behind either one of those. They had no problem with Monty McNair being behind that De'Aaron Fox trade, knowing they were going to fire him, because he wasn't behind the trade. Hmm. As soon as Zach LaVine became the main target, oh, I think I know who's behind that. Look, everybody know who. There's no secret. Doesn't mean it was bad. Mm-hmm. It just means it wasn't Monty's idea. Monty McNair shouldn't have been fired last night for being a bad general manager. Monty McNair should have been fired last night because he has no backbone. He didn't orchestrate anything on this team. It's certainly not within the last few months. Mm-hmm. Now, did he drop the ball following the playoff year? Maybe. Did he drop the ball in the offseason? Maybe. Or trade deadlines, whatever. Maybe. Did he drop the ball with Devin Carter? Did he drop the ball with Dave? Might have done all of that. But if your big frustration is the Chicago Bulls of the West, I'm not sure that was on him. And I recognize I should, and I know this, I'd like to have a little more substance when I have a quote take, a thought, an opinion. I'm sorry for being slow to this. I know people have said, this is Vivek. I get why you're saying that. All of this became crystal clear this morning when that Shams Charania tweet went out about Scott Perry. Mm-hmm. The plan has been in place for months. So what I just said to Kyle, process the process that we're dealing with right now. Vlade Divac, the shadowy figure in the Lurks. Everyone thinks it's Mateena. Y'all bring up Mateena's name. Y'all have no idea what that woman does.
No clue.
None. You have just heard people say her name before, and you're convinced she's the Wicked Witch of the West.
Real quick, this is my first foray into being, behind the scenes of things. It's been about 4 years. I ain't seen that woman do one thing yet. Not one thing.
I saw her sitting in her seat yesterday. That's the extent of what I saw. It.
I haven't seen her do one thing in 4 years.
Doesn't mean she's not a part of stuff. Doesn't mean right. She's not a part of discussions. Doesn't mean she did. Doesn't mean any of that. It means y'all have convinced yourself that this boogeyman exists and she's lurking in the shadows, when in fact the real boogeyman you need to worry about has his jersey up in the Raptors. Vlade called the one. What was the big knock on Vlade Divac? He doesn't have relationships across the league. That's one of the reasons he's struggling as a general manager. He can't connect with agents. So what do? They bring in Scott Perry. What's Scott Perry do? Well, Zach Randolph comes here. Vince Carter comes here. George Hill. Thank you. George Hill comes here. You get guys like Garrett Temple. You get established vets. You get vets leaders. That's all Scott Perry. Mm-hmm. All of it. So it's just a coincidence. And I think Scott Perry's a fine hire, by the way. It's just a coincidence. You hire the one guy in the league that Vlade knows. You hire the one guy in the league who Vlade can get on the phone, talk about the organization, sing the praise. You hired that one guy. Doesn't mean it's the wrong hire. Doesn't mean it's a bad hire. It just means recognize this process. This is what you're dealing with. Sam Amick wrote about it. Hey, Kings fans, it's fine. Vlade's not going to have a formal role within the organization, but he does have influence. It's way more dangerous. It's way more dangerous to have an informal role because you have no accountability in that regard. Vlade could just go, oopsie. Yeah, what's he going to get fired from a job he doesn't have? No, this, KC, this is where you and let you cook. We can even go long. This is where we might have to veer a little bit. I'm looking at Vivek Ranadive now. Looking directly at him. This is a dude who does not have the ability to trust his decisions. He constantly has someone. There is always a, whether you believe that someone is Mateena, whether you believe that someone is Vlade, whether you believe that someone is Joe Dumars, there is always somebody. Some might think it's Alvin Gentry. The world was ending yesterday, but who was courtside having a blast? Our man Alvin. There's always someone who he bounces everything off of. There's always someone there in a, quote, informal position. And that's where I'm looking at him, in that either trust your decisions or get out of the way. I'm not sure he's capable of doing either. Because if he trusted his decisions, he'd just get out of the way. But he does not trust who he hires. And he always keeps somebody close, and that person tends to circulate. It tends to change. It was Vlade for a while. Then it was Joe Dumars. Maybe it was Mattina. Maybe it was Alvin. And it was Vlade again. There were rumors that it was son. There's reports that it is daughter. Who's making the decisions in this organization? In actuality, it might be four or five people. Who wasn't making the decisions, in my opinion? Again, I don't think he did a good job. But I think the person who wasn't making the decisions was the guy who was fired last night. I don't think Monty McNair was the final decision maker. Firing Monty or parting ways with Monty was no big deal because he had no say. Or he didn't have the ultimate say. They may have thought about it as, we just lost our draft guy. Go ahead.
Great stuff, first of all. First,
Jesse, we going, because I took that whole time, so we going.
You're good. So for me personally, I like to, much like you, look at things a little bit more intricately than just it's this person's fault or anything else like that. There's a lot of blame to go around all the time. And sometimes I'll voice that opinion. And I'm sure at some point I will today. Right now is not the time to do that for Vivek Ranadive and ownership. It's not. They deserve everything that they're getting right now. They're the ones in charge. They're the head of the table, to use a wrestling term. These people dumb.
Man.
These people dumb as rocks, bro. That's a whole nother story that we probably won't get to on this, on these.
Yeah, we'll save that for another day.
But people think I just say it when it's convenient. No, it is a way that I go about, like, at least this entertainment business stuff. The game is the game. And Vivek, you want to sit courtside? You want to own the team? You want to have say so? You want to be the guy, you know, when it's all good, talking about light the beam, and you go there and you light it with 50 Cent and De'Aaron and all this other stuff. You got to be the guy right now that everybody is telling you it's your fault. And not that I ever tried to get in the way of it, but I sure won't get in the way of it right now. You wore all that. That was a disgrace last night.
Yeah,
that was a disgrace. I tweeted it out. I'll say it on the airwaves. Everybody involved last night, they let the city down. Sacramento, Kings fans, they got behind that team last night and were ready to have a party and have a good time. It was the play-in. It was a sorry little play-in. And they were ready to support that team to the final buzzer. Mm-hmm. And they let everybody down.
And they did it quickly.
The players let everybody down. That front office let everybody down. The owners let everyone down last night. That was pathetic. So I'm gonna say all that, saying I'm not here to defend anybody. We just talking, we having a conversation. I'm trying to figure this out. I'll ask you, how do you think that goes down if Vivek is making all the decisions? Do you think that is just as simple as I want Sasha Vezenkov, go sign him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's how it goes down?
No. I don't. I think it's a little more intricate than that. I think Sasha's a unique one. Sasha might have been a
Monty
call.
That might have been a bad example.
Yeah, so.
I just used the name.
You actually role played this once. And normally role play is a massive failure on this show, but this one worked because like this, you executed this once. And if memory, I can't remember how exactly we did this, but I think you were Vivek in this scenario.
Okay.
and you looked at Monty and said, look, I gave you the chance. I gave you the chance. Like, I gave you a chance to do it. You missed on Siakam. You missed on OG. And you have all of these reasons that you missed on this and you missed on that. I've given you the ability to make these hires, to make these firings. I've given you the ability. I guess that's another conversation to be had, too. I've given you the ability to do all of this. Okay, now you're going to do it my way. De'Aaron doesn't want to be here. Fine. Execute the trade. All I care about is that guy in Chicago winds up in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. I've wanted him here for years. This is our only path. Go get him. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you want, because I've given you years, a couple of years, to do it your way. And you have been unable to do it, so do it mine. That's what I think it was.
I think so, too.
And I don't think... I don't think the DeMar DeRozan thing is far off of that. Going back to the DeMar DeRozan signing. Again, I there's a little behind the scenes context to this, but we know the places we heard that name from. Mm-hmm. And now hey, look, what's your idea? Let's brainstorm this. Mm-hmm. What's your idea this offseason? And I don't like that idea. I don't like that idea. You failed on this idea. I'm not walking away from this offseason with Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes on my roster. I'm not running it back for the third time. I've given you multiple opportunities. You want to call about such and such, whoever it might be. You want to call about Cam? Fine, call. We know what that conversation is like. Call. You got it. You want to call about Kyle Kuzma? Call. He better waive that trade kicker, but you can call him. Mm-hmm. When Lori, that's fine. Engage with Lori Markkanen. If you could pull that off, we're golden. Great. We know who you're dealing with there. We said the Kings gave, and this is the way it was explained to us, the Kings gave Utah a deadline. Utah left him on red. Vivek might have given his front office a deadline. If I don't see a tweet from Shams Charania that says Lori Markkanen is the Sacramento Kings by this day, I want to see DeMar DeRozan in Sacramento by the time the California Classic happens. Mm-hmm. That's how I think it ultimately went.
In that situation, which I agree with, I wouldn't want Vivek doing that. Like, I'm not saying that's the way to do it. But at the same time, bro, you had ample time to get something done. And you didn't. Because you're not convincing enough. You're not a good enough negotiator. You don't have the charisma. Or whatever the case may be. It couldn't get done. So like I said, I'm not here to... Hell no, I ain't caping for Vec or none of that stuff. Like... No, I'll continue to reiterate that because some people are dumb and don't listen. So I'll keep saying it. But in that situation, I'm not like, yeah, I understand it. I get it. Bro, I gave you all the offseason previously, the trade deadline, and we've been done since April.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to be talking. It's June 30th. And I ain't got nothing on the horizon right now. Nah, bro. All right. I'm going to tell you what's going to be on the horizon is DeMar DeRozan going to be here at the California Classic. Because
mm-hmm.
you couldn't get
and
nothing done.
And I want not like us playing.
Because you couldn't get nothing done, not for a week or so, for a year and a half.
Yeah.
And here's another thing. Okay. All right. Okay. Once again, it sounds like I'm defending. I'm not. I promise you I'm not. I wasn't sure I wanted to sign Mike Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You came in here and you said, I think we need to keep rolling with him. You convinced me that everything was going to be all right. It's not all right. They've quit on him. He needs to go. And I gave mm-hmm. you the opportunity to fix all this and you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to do it my way. Once again, not saying it's right. Not saying it's right at all. But I'm giving you a scenario of how things might have went down.
Doesn't mean it's wrong either, though.
That part too. Yeah. That part too. Yeah. So the thought process behind it, this is what I gather from it, is a lot of people believe, and they could be right. I really don't know. They could be 100% right. But a lot of people believe the day you sign up to work for Vivek Ranadive, you have no control over nothing. Mm. And he's calling all the shots from day one. I don't believe that's necessarily how things go. I think he gives you an opportunity to show your worth, to do what you have to do. Mm. And if it doesn't happen, I guess, in a winning form, winning and maybe money efficient form, if it doesn't happen that way over, I'll say maybe he gives you a year.
Mm-hmm.
Then he gets impatient and he starts incorporating his ideas and his thought process into what he thinks happens.
And that's also problematic.
It is. It is 100%. Not saying it's right. I know.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Scott Perry. He's going to be a Vivek puppet. Don't disrespect that man like that.
Yeah. I don't.
That is an accomplished man in this game,
mm-hmm.
in this league.
Mm-hmm.
Don't disrespect him like that to talk about this man that has done a lot over probably 20, 30 years in this league at this point is coming to Sacramento to be a puppet. I don't think that's the case at all. But I do think if he doesn't find success in a certain amount of time, he may have to deal with the same things that Monty McNair dealt with, that Pete D'Alessandro ended up dealing with. Because once again, I remind everybody all the time, that what I just laid out, not that I know anything, I'm just saying what I just laid out seems a little more plausible. Because when Pete first got here, Vivek let him do what he needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Then he ran things into the ground, and then Vivek started, I want Vladdy, or I want this and that, this and that. I think it's his impatience when things don't go right fast enough, or maybe even on the timeline that he was told. That's when he starts to incorporate his thought process into it. And he hasn't really been right himself either. Like, he get mad at everybody else for making the wrong decisions and doing this, that. He ain't been right himself. He hasn't hired the right people. He hasn't had the right thought process himself when it comes to players, the way you want to play, all this other stuff. I mean, he's been wrong as much as the people he's trying to get rid of.
Look at this real quick for me. This is the direction that tweets were going. That's it. That's his bag. That is Shams' bag. But what really gets me is Shams tweeted this, and it's the lower third on ESPN as well. Kings finalizing deal to hire Scott Perry's GM, replacing Monty McNair. 40-plus win seasons in 3 straight seasons under McNair. 0 40-win seasons from 2006 to 2022. What do you think that's from?
That's from Monty's people.
Yeah.
Whoever his agency is or whatever. And here's the other thing, man. That,
hey, make my guy look good on the way out. I mean, there's already – it sounds like he gets to pick where he wants to go. There's rumors of Houston and joining up with Rafael Stone, who's his homie. And I think Monty is great in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And someone said to us yesterday – And this is perfect because it is not Scott Perry. Someone said to you and I yesterday, you cannot hire a first-time general manager to run this franchise.
Facts.
Man, was that on point.
Facts.
God bless it. That was on point.
And here's the issue that I have with all this all the time. Like, it feels like everybody's wrong. It feels like everybody is wrong. Like, it feels like Vivek is wrong for the way that he goes about things and just his process. It just seems like it sucks. But here's the other thing. My man Sam Amick, and this is Sam Amick is reporting.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking to people. Mm-hmm. I want to make that clear too, because people be trying to create friction between me and Sam, and Sam's my man, and his work is pristine. So we ain't going to do that. We ain't going to plant that out there like I'm talking about Sam. I'm not talking about Sam. I'm talking about the way things are told to Sam. And he wrote the article this morning, and lo and behold, you know how the hit piece is always out there, always ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, the I didn't have anything to do with everything that went bad piece is always ready to go.
You saw that.
Everything that went wrong, well, you know, I didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do that.
Yep.
I didn't want to do that. Yep. Number one, like you said earlier, grow a pair. Number one, if you didn't want to do it, you're the man in charge of the job.
Yeah.
So if you didn't want to do it, speak up and do what's right or what you feel is right. Second of all, it's like I said, man, it's always that. We've been telling you that all the time. Everything, Mike Brown does the same thing. Everything, and he might have been right on a few things. We'll talk about that. Mm. He might have been right on a few things. Mm. But everything that is.
You said Mike Brown, right?
Mike Brown.
Yeah, let me tell you.
He might have been right
Brown,
on a few things.
I'm just going to take a note. Mike Brown was right. And boy, I'm gonna let you finish. I just want to, boy, Domas is the luckiest dude on the planet right now. Oh, because if it wasn't for this, go ahead.
But no, that's all I want to say is everything that is wrong, the people who are leaving, number one, don't take accountability of the things. And I'm gonna say this guy's name. And you were there, Leo was there, talking about Devin Carter. Mm-hmm. I was like, Devin Carter can play.
Mm-hmm.
He at this ended up being his last game of the season. I'm like, you know what? He's a good little player.
And he's did got some exactly things, what I asked him to do last night, too.
He's got things to work on, but that's a good ball player. But Monty McNair don't ever talk about how it was his choice to draft him when he couldn't play half the season, when the team was in win-now mode, when the trade potentially was on the table and you walked away from it to draft this guy that wasn't ready to start the season. Monty McNair don't take no responsibility for drafting Keegan Murray, who was the number four pick in the draft. Mm. And I don't know what kind of extension he's going to get.
Okay. Well,
hold contract.
Hold that thought. It's clean, man. We're cooking today. Hold that thought. We have to break now. We'll come back. We'll reset. No, we won't. We'll just keep talking. We'll probably keep talking during the commercial break. Shout out to those on YouTube. Shout out to those on the Odyssey app. Wherever you are, we appreciate you being with us. The Sacramento Kings season is over. The offseason is underway, and change is already here. Monty McNair is out. Scott Perry is in. We are covering it all. Exit interviews are taking place. We'll bring you some of those videos as well. It's Dealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
It's not your fault. It's his fault. The talker's fault.
I didn't
he's
know.
Gotta, he's got.
Well, I got. No, it's what it is. I got my timing is off. Sometimes Jesse just we're back and like we're back like really back. Now we got like guys talking when we come. Oh, now back to D-Lo. No, I know where we are.
Oh yeah, we do that in the beginning now, huh? Or no, we just play the music now, huh?
No. No, it's fine.
We created it the old way.
No, it's fine to have the little guy there do his thing.
We got to get used to it.
That's all.
It's good. Don't worry, dude. I'll fix that. Don't worry.
No, it's fine.
It's good. Talent's all pissed off. I got it. It's fine. You brought it up in a great way where it doesn't hurt my feelings, but I got the message. Like, I'll fix it. I'm sorry.
That's whack, dude. You hit him with the gorilla.
Will you stop?
Will you stop?
Ben's always yelling at me, guys. You wouldn't believe it.
Oh, man. Jake Gaten's going to join us. I can't wait to hear this story about. I caught it on the insiders. I'm not exactly clear what happened last night.
I feel like this might rival, hey, Drake, like James' story. Like, if we got to ask him later when we have him on tomorrow or something.
So I'll give you a bit of a precursor. I'm going to let him finish it. And there was part where I wasn't even there. But I'm champagneing and campaigning on the court afterwards. And we're just talking, and I'm talking with Jake and talking with my girl Ania, and we just talking, having a little powwow. And Alvin walks by. Say the tunnel is over here.
Mm-hmm.
Alvin walks in this direction.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, Lenny is like, hey, you know, what's up, Alvin? How you doing? Or whatever. And I was like, Alvin, what's up, man? Yeah. Moves need to be made, huh? He's like, yeah. Yeah, moves going to be made. And then he walks to the other tunnel. And Jake
about to go make one right now.
And Jake is there. And we just go back to talking when we're talking. We're talking Kings. And I tell I was like, hey, yeah, Jake, yeah, Monty, he going to be gone, bro. He going to be gone. And he's like, you think so? I was like, yeah. I said, to be honest with you, he might gone before you go on the air tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To be honest, it's about 10 o'clock at this point. So I'm like, he might be gone before you get on the air. So I'm like, oh, okay, da-da-da. 15 minutes, 20 minutes come by. See Alvin walking back. Alvin's on his phone, and he just kind of walks by and just goes through. And I said, oh, okay. That's when I had the tweet of, yeah, he's going to be fired probably within the next 24 to 48 hours.
Hmm.
10 minutes later.
24 to 48 seconds.
10 minutes later, he was gone. I was trying to be safe. Like, I don't know. But the Jake part of it, I'm going to leave that to Jake. Because Jake, we'll talk about when he gets here. But the Jake part is pretty funny.
So Jake will be with us coming up in about 45 minutes or so. I had to cut you off. We were talking a little bit about we had to take that break right there because we had gone long here to start the show. Started to use these stupid radio terms, but
we're back on the other side.
Do you feel like, thank you, do you feel like that's not a radio term? That's just a term someone said one day and it won't go away because people like you keep it alive. Did you finish do we want to reset this? We were talking about, it was a couple of things about Mike Brown, you know, and kind of Monty McNair's role, Vivek's role, Sam's article, how there's a lot of posturing with what went on this season right now. And you know how posturing goes around this organization. The blame is going to wind up on one person. And go ahead, Jesse.
You can finish your point. I guess I got a new one.
Well, it's not really. I just want to make sure Kenny had.
Nah, it's just like, you know, it's one of those things, and I guess you don't have to do it. Like, it's whatever. You don't have to. But nobody takes accountability for their own missteps. I said this a number of different times. It's always somebody else's fault. That somebody else is Vivek, and I'm not saying certain things aren't his fault, for sure. For sure. But it's always somebody else's fault. Even down to, like, We'll get into it at some point, but those players were atrocious last night.
Yeah,
and I understand.
Oh, we're gonna get to it.
Someone still needs clarity.
Yeah, we're gonna get to it. None of them are getting let off the hook.
I understand the notion and the whole. It's everything. That's what everybody. It starts at the top. Everything starts at the top. Hey man, come on now. It don't start at the top to get in a defensive stance. It don't start at the top to not throw the ball into the third row. Like, nobody, and people always talk about it. It's, you know, they're accountable with their jobs or whatever. Sure, I understand that. I'm just telling you, I don't feel nobody's ever accountable. It's always finger pointing in this organization. Always finger pointing. Maybe the majority of them go of Vivek. Maybe he deserves the majority of them. But like I said, from everything I know, Monty, that was your choice to draft Devin Carter.
Mm-hmm.
That was your choice to draft Keegan Murray. That was your choice to add a first rounder to the Kevin Huerter trade.
Mm-hmm.
You decided to do that. You executed the trade in that way. Even in this whole situation, like you talk about Zach LaVine, getting Zach LaVine was the primary goal, and I agree with you. That was something that came down from management or from ownership.
Yeah.
Get Zach LaVine.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't tell you not to go get no draft picks. Mm-hmm. He didn't tell you not to go get a young player. He didn't tell you not to go get a Tyus Jones or Trey Jones. I can't ever remember who's the point guard in San Antonio. They always confuse me. Tyus and Trey always confuse me. But he didn't tell
Roy.
You. Well, must have forgot. But he didn't tell you not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one that executed that trade.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always somebody else's issue. Some people say you shouldn't assign Mike Brown to begin with. Apparently, if I'm reading the tea leaves correctly, you're the one that wanted to sign him.
Mm.
You're the one that wanted to sign him to the contract when everything else was going wrong. Or, at the very least, you decided to sign him and keep the people that weren't in favor of him around instead of moving those people and keeping Mike Brown.
Hmm.
We don't talk about that. He won't talk about that. He won't tell Sam Amick that. Mike Brown won't tell Sam Amick or whoever their shortcomings. You're the one that wanted Chris Duarte out there who's barely in the damn league.
Mm-hmm.
But don't nobody ever talk about that. It's always, my hands were tied because the ownership is always meddling. And that may be true. But no accountability for your own issues.
So what do you do when the entire organization has that problem?
Well, it's not.
I'm not absolving that problem.
No, I'm saying like how do you like?
It's created like, by one person. That is created by Vivek.
So how do you like? I get what Casey's saying. Like, yeah, Monty should take accountability, no doubt. Because like I said, blaming for everyone is just the Kings play to run when you're out of here and stuff like that. But like, you also brought up the players. So, like, it's an organizational wide thing. Like, nobody here shows accountability.
No,
it's everyone else's fault.
They get rid of all these damn people.
Yeah.
Clean house. You've got a bunch of people that there ain't no leaders. There's no leadership and no accountability top down. You're talking about starting at the top. We'll go at the top and we'll go all the way out to the bottom.
You wanna ask how you institute change? No one says anything. It's all these vague reports that have no one's name on it. I've said for years since this show has started, there is someone who works in this organization that actively works to make Vivek look stupid. That happens today. But you don't have anyone putting their name on anything, nothing. Whether it's organizational past or present. The only one who says anything is George Karl. And the problem with George Karl is the messenger's wrong. Bro, you hate everybody. Michael Malone. Michael Malone is angry at everyone. Fine. Monty didn't want to. Sam Amick says Monty McNair didn't want to fire Mike Brown. Mm-hmm. Okay, then don't. Don't. You want to. Your owner comes to you and says, fire him. And you don't want to. The writing for your future is on the wall in Sharpie, as Seth Davis would say. Mm. It's there. You're next. Okay. Vivek, I'm not firing Mike. Fire Mike or you're fired. Cool. Fire me then. And I understand my philosophy on this type of stuff can be different. I recognize that. But go ahead. Because if I do fire him, I see where you're going. Mm-hmm. I'm fired anyway.
Right.
Fire me right now.
Right.
Because the first goddamn thing I will do is make sure I tell everyone how this organization is run. Because I'll be in Houston tomorrow. Your whole ass is going to have to pay me. But I will be in Houston supplementing whatever. I'll be having fun with my boy Raphael Stone.
Uh-huh.
You know what? I might go to Philadelphia. Now, you know what? Second thought. I'm going to go to Houston. I don't want nothing to do with Daryl. I'm going to stay over here with Raphael Stone. I'll be there tomorrow.
Hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to be in Houston. I know I got that in my back pocket. I'm going to go take a family trip on your dime because if I get a job, that's when I got, you know, well, I don't get paid from that no more.
You know,
so I'm going to take a trip on your dime.
Oh, no. No. I'll go work for Raphael Stone, and whatever he doesn't, I may ask him to pay me a dollar.
Yeah, because it can't be more, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and you can pay me
the rest.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm going to do, Vivek? I'm going to take my dear, close, longtime personal friends with me on this vacation. I'm going to take Sam Amick. I'm going to take Anthony Slater. I'm going to take Shams Charania with me. And we're going to go on an all-expenses Vivek Ranadive pay trip, and I'm going to tell them how this organization is run. And here's the thing, Vivek. I'm not Michael Malone. I'm not an old, bitter man like George Karl. I'm a guy who had his first job here, who won Executive of the Year 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I am as calm, cool. I don't talk to nobody. Hmm. Oh, but they're going to hear me today.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to hear me today. Because you know who won't talk is Vivek.
Mm.
Vivek ain't said a word since this is your team, outside of his speech that we talked about the other day at the Stephon Clark thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. He ain't spoken about basketball in years. You talk about people that Vivek always has around. Nancy Lieberman. Nancy Lieberman was kept on staff because that was Vivek's homie. And she would take stuff from the coach. Remember how Nancy just disappeared? She was never fired. There was no announcement that she was gone. Just one day, she wasn't there. She was Vivek's right-hand man, woman within the coaching staff, and there was finally a conversation had, this needs to end or I'm done. And they just quietly put an end to it, and she went off home, I think, to be with her mom or be with some family member or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. Vec always has those people around. And because no one will say anything with their name attached to it, this is just going to be a cycle of, it's lather, rinse, repeat. We're just starting over again.
Simple as
that. That's all it is. We just continue. Kings fans, I wish we could come in here and say, man, this time it's going to be different. It's not. It's not. Could the Kings get a year or two of success? Maybe, but at some point, and this is what Beam Team, this is what 2 years ago should have taught us. Unless there is a massive change at the very, very, very tip top of this organization, it's only a matter of time. Hey, something works out this offseason. The Kings are successful. Great. Every offseason, you better hold your breath. Oh, they were successful. 2 playoff years in a row. Great. Don't get comfortable. Because at some point, Scott Perry, in this situation, he's not going to get that free agent that he wanted. He's going to strike out on option 1. He's going to strike out on option 2. And as you pointed out earlier, then he's going to get impatient. And then he's going to tell him what he's told everybody else. Well, now you have to do it my way.
Here's the one thing that, the one caveat I'll have for that. Is Scott Perry worked with the crazy owner before. And
yes,
he may have the people skills and the, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but the gift of gab, the way to talk to somebody like Vivek to keep him from getting to that point. You know what I mean? He may be able to strike out on 2 guys that he thought he could get. And Vivek is getting, don't worry, Vivek. Check this out.
Okay.
Check this out. Check this out. Hey, but I know I missed on those 2. But look, I'm going to tell you my plan. I got this. This is what's cooking up. I've talked to this guy. I've talked to this agent. Don't worry about it. He may be able to hold him down. Now, you may say that can only last for a certain amount of time. But I think Scott Perry is that suave of an executive to be able to hold a James Dolan at bay, to be able to hold a Vivek Ranadive at bay. I also don't think, and especially since he worked with him before, I don't think Scott Perry, and I'm not saying you're saying this or anybody else, Scott Perry ain't no dummy. He knows what he's getting involved in, and he's not a guy that's getting involved in something to fail either. So I think he'll be prepared for all those things. Will Vivek override all that? Quite possibly. And implement himself into stuff that he shouldn't be doing it again? Quite possibly. Matter of fact, the track record says, to your point, he will end up implementing himself into basketball situations and making wrong decisions again. But I think Scott Perry, and I know you know this, Scott Perry's not Monty McNair.
Right.
He's not.
Yeah. Sat King asking, if Scott Perry was so good, why didn't we keep him the first time? He wasn't the general manager the first time.
And
he was here for 3 months as like an advisor or assistant or something along those lines. And the Knicks job became available. That was his dream job. And he took it. Simple as that. Yes. That man was here in this organization for like 3 months. It might not even have been that long, but that's how that he was here for a very, very short time.
Scott Perry might not work or whatever. I don't know, but I'll tell you this. I don't know from everything that I've read about him since that first time he was here. You won't find a more respected executive in this league. Respected by NBA executives, respected by agents. You won't find that. He's got relationships that last decades, that people respect him and look at him in a certain way that they don't look at a Monty McNair. Definitely don't look at a Wes Wilcox. So will that result in success? I don't know. But I'm just telling you who Scott Perry is in the NBA.
Boy, blew through another commercial break, man.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that. He was cooking.
No, it was my bad. No, I'm not paying attention to anything.
It's not breaks type of day.
Yeah. Jay Gaydon will be with us coming up in about 1:15 or so. Matt George is going to be with us as well during his normal time. Matt can join us anytime he wants to as well. I know he's got some cooking to do. Exit interviews are taking place as we speak. Speaking of Matt George, you know, we have a lot of these clips. We might save these clips for a little bit because I feel like we've been on the air almost an hour. And, man, Scott Perry, Monty McNair, Vivek Ranadive, none of them took the floor last night and gave up a 44-19 second quarter. None of those individuals we just referenced were on the floor last night when the Golden One Center started booing. None of those guys were on the floor last night when we went four straight possessions that died with the ball in or attempting to be in Domantas Sabonis' hands. We said yesterday, you said it on the Insiders, we carried that conversation throughout our show. Yesterday needed to be, last night needed to be Domas' night. And Anthony Davis made him his bitch. Live on ESPN, just made a clown out of him. That lineup made a clown out of him. He looked like a G Leaguer out there with those dudes. Those four possessions I'm talking about, turnover, fumbling the ball around, getting a shot up with like 1 second left on the shot clock. And then, to be clear, I like Domantas Sabonis. I think he's a good basketball player. I'll elaborate on that in a second. Fumbles the ball around, gets a poor shot up relatively near the rim, misses, and what's he do? Throws his hands in the air, like it's somebody else's fault. Next possession, wide open three. Hesitates with it, holds it, repositions the ball, bricks it. Next possession, turnover. Four possessions. That point, game is ending, and everyone knows it.
That's it.
17,000 people who paid money to show up to that game last night knew the groaning turned to booing, turned to, it's really over. This is the second time in 3 years a win or go home game this team has gotten their ass kicked. The second time in 3 years on your home floor you've lost a win or go home game. Monty McNair wasn't on the floor for any of them. Vivek Ranadive wasn't on the floor for any of them. 11 points for Domantas Sabonis yesterday. He looked frightened to shoot the ball last night. Keegan Murray hits the first three of the game. I don't remember anything else that he did. The box score says he scored 9 points. He scored them when I stopped paying attention.
Remember that air ball he shot?
The one guy who looked like he showed up to play is the one some of y'all seem to hate the most. The kid from Compton was not scared of a play-in game. He was not scared of the moment. Now, I'm not absolving him of this. I saw it all fall apart with him, too. But I never saw him fall back. He, for whatever it's worth, he tried. Mm.
And to be fair, man, accurate, he wasn't on the floor when all that was happening. They put the ball in Domantas Sabonis' hand.
That's right.
And the game died.
Died.
Yep. The game died, and much like you, I like Domantas Sabonis.
Absolutely died.
There is context to his game and who he is as a player that we'll talk about.
Yeah, that context is ain't it.
But look, I don't want to hear it. I heard it earlier. I don't want to hear it. Oh, they start playing selfish and all. They were fine. Right. Devin Carter hits a corner three to put them up two. And
what's the crowd doing?
Whatever. Turns up everybody. They were fine. They put the ball in that man's hands and they died.
I looked around the arena like, oh, man. All right, Rook.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that was going to be the last one we had.
Yeah.
I did not know that was going to be the last one we had.
And like I said, it's not an indictment on him necessarily as a player, but we got to call a spade a spade. We ain't going to do all that. Oh, you know, they turned into a selfish team after that. We're not doing that today. I told you yesterday we weren't doing that, and I'm staying with, we're not doing that today. They put the ball in his hands, and the game died.
Yep.
It died. That's on him.
The game
died. He's
got
to wear that.
The season died.
He's got to wear that, man. He does. And we not pointing at DeRozan or LaVine. Or LaVine got – LaVine two times, McDermott one time later in the game. They got a turnover. That was Domas not handling the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Man probably should have had 10 turnovers last night. He was awful. Awful. And that's on him, man. That's on him. And it's clear who he is in this league at this point. We want him to be something else. We thought he was something else. He's not. He's not. He puts up great numbers during the regular season. He does a lot of great things. He is not a top 15, top 20 player in this league. He just simply isn't. We have that answer. Because top 15, top 20 players in this league, when them lights are on like they were in the Warriors series and before, they don't play like that on a routine basis.
Hold that thought, because I know how much you hate Domas, and I know you're going to cook. And Jesse was lighting it up earlier on the Insider, so I'm anxious to hear that. And Domas wants clarity. I just want to know the direction, buddy. The word clarity changed to direction this morning. Domas, I have some clarity for you and your agent. And we'll have it next here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.